Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it's the start of a new week all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. This is FFC. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. He is the mastermind, and it's good to have his mind here on this Monday to recap everything that we saw this past weekend from the 2024 NFL Draft, the draft selections that we enjoy, the draft picks that we questioned, and what it means now for these franchises around the National Football League and these prospects, the brightest of them taking that next step to this next level. Lisi Guy, hope the weekend was great. Great work on Friday, of course, for the draft special on Sports Grid as well. And then we had one final day of the NFL draft on Saturday, rounds 4-7, to break down for you here and react to everything we saw this weekend around the National Football League.
Yeah, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Some teams really helped themselves out in terms of their first and second round selections. Others, like the Buffalo Bills, they had to wait to the second round to pick up their dynamic wide receiver, Keon Coleman, and then the ugly, right? We still look at Atlanta, and that selection did not fill an immediate need of Michael Penix in terms of the quarterback situation, so only time will tell, Ben, yeah. Right? There's initial reactions, and then a year or two down the road, ultimately will determine how these picks will dictate and you know, final grades for all of these teams.
Yeah, certainly so, Joe, and really well said. Any reactions that we have in the immediate future following the NFL draft is just how we project things out. There will be a sample size that ultimately determines if the pick was successful, if it was average, or if it was poor. But we will give you our reactions to everything, some draft winners and losers from this weekend, rounds 1-7. Lisi and I were together on Friday reacting to night number one, round number one on a Thursday in Detroit. We'll give you our thoughts from rounds 2-7. That's Friday and Saturday. But, Joe, before we dive into the draft, some big news that followed the NFL draft on this Monday morning as well. And you'll see this now throughout the National Football League offseason calendar. Those big dates, right, where we see some action, where we see some movement, where we see some maneuvering around the National Football League, all kind of around those big dates. Well, now, following the draft, we don't expect much until we really get ready for OTAs and minicamp. And, of course, getting ready for training camp in the middle to end of July. But we did get some news on this Monday, a reunion between the Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke makes his way back to the Star after 7 years with Dallas, but the previous season, 2023, in New England, Ezekiel Elliott is once again a Dallas Cowboy, signing with the Cowboys, Joe, for a deal where some of the monetary aspects of it and the actual length has not been determined yet. Zeke still needs to pass a physical this week, but the reunion is on track for Ezekiel Elliott to return to the Cowboys.
Yeah, and expecting Zeke to return to his rookie season, I think, is a far ask, yeah. Right? Even though he stepped up and maybe was slightly more productive than Ramondre Stevenson at the end of the regular season for the Patriots, he's just basically a role player right now. You know, they had the opportunity in the offseason to potentially go after Derrick Henry and others, some big-name free agent running backs. They failed to do so. I thought they would address it more so in the draft, potential second or third round selection. options. They could have taken a player that I was high on in regards to Braylon Allen. He went to the New York Jets. But we'll see how this plays out. You know, Zeke is a locker room guy for Dak and all the veterans on that team, and they're trying one last run. If it doesn't work with Zeke and Dak this year, you know that Jerry and McCarthy are basically Jerry is going to fire McCarthy, and then they'll blow the whole thing up. So this is it. This is the final cherry on top. We'll see how it plays out for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, so Joe, I think you bring up a great point. Ezekiel Elliott, in his 7 years with Dallas, a three-time Pro Bowler, he finished Offensive Rookie of the Year runner-up in his rookie season, but that was a long time ago. That was back in 2016 for Zeke at this point. That's when he led the National Football League in rushing yards. He did so again in year number three in Dallas of his NFL career, but that's 2018. Ezekiel Elliott, in terms of a signing, Joe, it is notable from the name, from the notoriety, of course, that Zeke and the Cowboys presents, and for the nostalgia of Ezekiel Elliott making his legacy as a Dallas Cowboy first and foremost. For a guy to play pretty much the entirety of his NFL career with one organization does carry some weight. But in terms of actual impact, I'm not sure there's much for Zeke. He's 28 years old right now. He will turn 29 before the start of the 2024 NFL campaign. He was productive toward the tail end of last year for the Patriots, and frankly, in his final year in Dallas in 2022, he had double-digit rushing scores, so there was some production out of Zeke even in his final few years with Dallas. But is he going to be that main back? Is he going to be the guy that is near the top five or top 10 of rushing yards in the National Football League this upcoming year? Probably not. It also, though, Joe, plays with the NFL draft, and we'll talk about this as we go through our draft discussions as to why I consider what Dallas did this weekend mind-boggling. You said it there. Multiple opportunities for the Dallas Cowboys to select a running back in the night number two and even into day number three, and they just let him pass by and by and by. The great thing about getting a rookie running back on whatever rookie contract deal is associated with rounds 2 through 3 or 4 through 7 is you have that guy at a premium to the franchise. That is a beautiful number for the franchise to be able to work around. It's a young running back that you hope to be productive in that system on a discounted rookie contract. And for Dallas to need to fill that spot in the backfield after letting go of Tony Pollard this offseason and, of course, Zeke a year ago in making very little moves there, to pass and not select the running back in the 2024 NFL draft, Joe, I found rather peculiar for a Cowboys team that everybody expects to contend each and every year in the NFC. But as we have seen, of course, 13 consecutive playoff appearances for Dallas without even reaching the NFC title game. And if one of their biggest holes is in the backfield, to not address it in the NFL draft, I thought was peculiar and frankly wrong.
Yeah, I agree with that, Ben. And, you know, there were some good running backs. I didn't think it was, you know, an elite class of running backs, but there were some productive guys. And we saw Jerry Jones come out, be very high on Jonathan Brooks, the Texas running back. He was the first running back off the board. There was still Jalen Wright from Tennessee, a pocket rocket, Trey Benson, different types of running backs that could be maybe plug-and-play type of players to go along with Rico Dowdle and my guy Braylon Allen as well. That fell all the way to, I think, 134th overall, and probably the biggest physical specimen that maybe resembles a Derrick Henry type. So it is odd. I don't know what they're planning on doing. We'll see if they pick up potentially free agents as the week progresses. But again, you figure those young talent running backs, you know, we've seen it throughout the years. Even Devin Singletary, when he got drafted, wasn't a pure number one, but he was still productive throughout his career, you know, with the Buffalo Bills and more importantly, Houston Texans recently, and they just didn't pick it up at all. I mean, it's just like, you know, we'll see what we need, and as the season progresses, as we head into OTAs, we'll see if we can get some veterans off maybe the practice squad. That is not the way to go, especially when you're a team like the Dallas Cowboys looking to challenge for an NFC championship.
100%. And Joe, we've seen this time and again now in the last few years in the National Football League that when you can make a pick late into a round, you have some ability to do so. Isaiah Pacheco, a gleaming example of that, the seventh round selection out of Rutgers for Kansas City. You could look at guys like Jaylen Warren, who the Pittsburgh Steelers have. When you can get these guys on a low and discounted rookie deal, it only benefits you. Not for the Cowboys to reach with that 29th overall pick in the first round and take a running back that was not slated to be a first round grade, but at a certain point, especially into day number three, with some really talented running backs available, like a young Braylon Allen, who, by the way, was the youngest member of this 2024 draft class and only 20 years old. Not a lot of tread on those tires. I think he's going to be the most successful running back of this crop, but just peculiar moves from Dallas. We'll continue to have those draft discussions on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle in this hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern time. Our reactions to draft weekend in Detroit up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So Lisi and I were with you on Friday morning following night number one, round number one of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit. But you really haven't got our takeaways and our reactions here on FFC since we saw rounds two through seven. Day two, day three in the completion of the 2024 NFL Draft. Joe, some storylines from the weekend that was a huge disparity and a historic draft for the quarterback position in the National Football League. We shared on Friday, six quarterbacks go in the first round, the most we have ever seen in the modern draft era in round number one. All six, Joe, go in the top 12. And so it took a while to get that next quarterback off the board. It didn't happen until Saturday. Round number five, pick 150 overall. Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina, drafted by the New Orleans Saints. Joe, that was a 137 pick discrepancy from 12th overall Bo Nix in round number one by the Denver Broncos to Spencer Rattler, 150th overall round number five by the New Orleans Saints. That was the largest gap in terms of quarterback selection in the history of the NFL draft as well.
Yeah, and I think it was telling of this draft class. I thought it was a little bit top-heavy in terms of those six quarterbacks being taken, obviously, first, you know, overall, and then the drop-off to Spencer Rattler. Now, you can make the argument that Rattler, if this was a couple of years ago when he was still at Oklahoma, he might have been thought of as potentially a first or a second, high second-round selection. But, yeah, you know, he struggled with inconsistency. He did have some bright spots, big game for 188 yards against Miss State, three touchdowns. 2 years ago, he knocked off Hendon Hooker, that dynamic performance, six touchdowns. He followed it up with knocking off Clemson in Death Valley, handing them only their third loss at home over an eight-year period, but he struggled back-to-back. That consistency wasn't there with Shane Beamer, and then the reports came out, and this is the thing that drives me nuts, that, you know, Spencer Rattler, his stock fell because of what he did in making that documentary when he was a high school kid. Now, if you're going to put in weight into what happened when he was 16, 17, 18 years old, and not look at the guy, we saw this with C.J. Stroud last year. These GMs and these scouts are so stupid sometimes. Like, you know, kids make mistakes. We're going to look at a documentary and judge the body of work because he was out there. How many other kids that weren't documented, right, have the same character traits, but they overlook it? I see, that is what bothers me about some of these reports.
Absolutely so, Joe. And they're asinine reports. Asinine. And I think what you hit on there is so spot on. I don't understand how certain NFL organizations and front offices go about their draft evaluation metrics. If you were to follow any high school student in America, or most of them, around with cameras as a 17-year-old, you would probably see some things you did not care for in terms of attitude, and they would do a lot worse than Spencer Rattler did in a Netflix reality series when he was 17. But did you meet with him when he was 23 and in this draft cycle? Did you listen to him probably explain what he has learned in that 6-year span, and then individual that he is now? for the idea to be that that image of him in the Netflix series QB1 is still stuck in your craw, you need to get unstuck out of your craw, and your craw, aka your brain, doesn't work very well. It's asinine. And if that's the reason you passed on Spencer Rattler, not his inability at times to be consistent in college football based on sample size with the highs and the lows, then you're an idiot. If you passed on him for actual football reasons, then I can understand. Listen, I think Spencer Rattler can have a lengthy career in the National Football League. Will he ever be a starter for a franchise for multiple years? I'm not entirely sure. Can he flirt with a starting job, keep a quarterback room competitive, and maybe be a reliable backup over his NFL career? Sure. But the idea that Spencer Rattler slid in the draft because of a Netflix series known as QB1 is so beyond stupid. I really can't react to it more than that, or I just get heated because of how dumb the idea is. I don't know, Joe, necessarily, if Spencer Rattler is going to be great. Some projected him as an early day one, day two type of talent, and that's certainly what he was thought of when he entered college and even during his first season at Oklahoma when he came on very strong down the tail end of that season. Do you think Joe Spencer Rattler can amount to anything for New Orleans?
I think in the right scheme. Now, you know, I'm a little unsure about, you know, Dennis Allen and that scheme with, you know, Derek Carr right now, because Derek Carr, a veteran quarterback, struggled inside red zone opportunities. They can move it between the 30s, but were a very inconsistent team. You know, Rattler was inconsistent as well in regards to South Carolina, even at Oklahoma, in terms of red zone opportunities. So we'll see. I think in the right scheme, yes, I think Rattler can be effective. Height might be a little bit of an issue. We saw him out at the Super Bowl. He's about maybe 6'1", 6'2", you know, 1.5 in that area, Drew Brees-esque. But we'll see. He does have a live arm, and he is battle-tested and has played in big games throughout his career, right? He had the bullseye on his back with Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma. He was that next quarterback up behind all the greats, and he lived up to expectations to a degree. And then when he went to South Carolina, he elevated him 2 seasons ago. He really did. He was playing his best football at the end of the regular season. So if they can channel that, yeah, I think they can maybe potentially catch lightning in a bottle. And I'll just say this too, to your point, just echo it again. So many lazy GMs and scouts, because they had the opportunity to interview Spencer Rattler, who was the most productive quarterback at the Senior Bowl, right? They always talk about these Senior Bowl workouts. Why not bring it up then as opposed to waiting to the NFL draft 4 months later? You see, that's another reason why I don't believe it, or the people that mentioned it aren't doing their jobs correctly.
Completely agree, Joe. Really well said. So many processes during this time. You could have in-person interviews with Spencer Rattler if you believed in him enough. You could have spoken to him in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine as early as in Mobile after the college football season at the Senior Bowl, too. It's really dumb. We'll talk about the rest of the quarterbacks that went in this draft class. We only had 5 after the first round. A fewer amount of quarterbacks after round number 1 than we saw even in round number 1 itself. And the other positions that filled out the board this weekend at the 2024 NFL Draft. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Joe, following the first round where we saw 6 quarterbacks selected in the top 12, a record in NFL draft history, we only saw 5 more for the rest of the weekend, and not until day number 3, starting in the 5th round with Spencer Rattler, as we shared. But, of course, quarterbacks always get our focus. Following Rattler, it was Jordan Travis out of Florida State, drafted in round number 5 by the Jets. To round 6 we go, Joe Milton, drafted by the Patriots, the second QB the Patriots selected in the 2024 NFL draft. Devin Leary out of Kentucky via NC State, drafted in round number 6. And in the 7th round, Michael Pratt was taken by the Green Bay Packers. Of course, Pratt playing his college ball at Tulane. So, Joe, those are the quarterbacks that went. Anything stand out to you out of the other quarterbacks drafted on day number 3?
No, I mean, Devin Leary, just to me, you know, was an experienced quarterback, transferred from NC State to Kentucky. Again, never elevated his game. We didn't see the glimpses of what he had in regards to being the most prolific passer, better than Phillip Rivers in terms of the all-time touchdown list for the Wolfpack. So we'll see how he does in terms of the NFL. I will say, for me, it's Milton if we're talking about the secondary quarterbacks. Why? Because he does have that wow factor, the strong arm. We know he was much maligned throughout his career. I'm curious to see what New England tries and does with Joe Milton, because, you know, people were talking like, you know, he was the Anthony Richardson of last year. Anthony Richardson had a better quarterback career, I believe, than Joe Milton, but we'll see. He's a battle-tested guy. He had the bullseye on his back at Michigan, couldn't cut it, really couldn't cut it in his second stint at Tennessee, even though we took him to a 9-3 overall record. What does he do in the NFL? Because he does have the NFL arm. With the right coach, maybe they can make a career out of Joe Milton.
Oh, you're starting to buy into the Jersey Joe hype, huh? That rocket arm that he can throw 73 yards down the field, huh?
Well, yeah, well, he does have that. We know that he's got the strongest arm in this class, right?
Sure.
I mean, there's no denying that. The problem is,
the problem is that
if you put the side of a barn to Joe Milton, you know, about 100 feet away, he might miss it. That is the that's the problem with Joe Milton, right? We know that he can air it out. So, again, you know, he's a raw prospect. If we're talking just quarterback strength in regards to arm, he's the guy. And maybe, just maybe, the Patriots saw something with Gerard Mayo and that offensive staff that they could channel it with them.
Yeah, I don't know, right? They drafted Drake May at number 3 overall. It's the second time in the last, 3 years that the Patriots have drafted a quarterback and then followed it up by drafting a quarterback. That was Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones in 2021. In 2022 is when Zappe was drafted in the 4th round. Here they do so in the same draft. I don't really know what Joe Milton's prospect is in Foxborough. If he hits the barn, there might be a football-sized hole through the broad side of the barn, but that's if he hits the barn. All right, Joe, now from the quarterbacks to the running backs. Unlike last year, where we saw two running backs drafted in the top 12, Bijan Robinson at 8 overall to Atlanta, 12th overall, Jahmyr Gibbs to the Detroit Lions. No running backs taken in round number 1, but then we saw a slew over the next few days, even starting on night number 2. Jonathan Brooks, the talented running back out of Texas, who had his 2023 college football season cut short with a torn ACL, first running back off the board. Favored to be that first running back at minus 155 entering night number 2 in Detroit. He goes 46th overall in that second round of the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, again, he flew up draft boards because he's coming off an ACL. He was an integral part of Sark's offense with Quinn Ewers. Didn't play in terms of the semifinal playoff loss to Washington, and obviously took all offseason to rehab. He's a nice type of runner. He's nowhere near Bijan Robinson, if that's what people are thinking. I'm sorry. He's not a poor man's Bijan Robinson in any capacity. This is a different type of running back. He's more, I want to say, like a Tony Pollard type. He's a little bit bigger, but he's still a finesse type of guy where if he catches the edge, he can be a factor in regards to the offense. I thought we saw Trey Benson go. Benson's a nice running back as well. Sets up his blocks very well. Jalen Wright, I like that addition in regards to the running backs. He is, in my opinion, the one home run hitter that if you're looking for like an Alvin Kamara, early Dalvin Cook, I think it is Jalen Wright playing for the Tennessee Volunteers.
There was also a lot of speculation that Michigan's Blake Corum would end up in Los Angeles. He does, just not with the Chargers and his former head coach Jim Harbaugh. He was drafted in the 3rd round by the LA Rams, a good pick for Los Angeles. More coming on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. All right, we continue to dive through the 2024 NFL Draft and the weekend that was, live right here on Football Full Circle. Joe, when we were together on Thursday night for our 2024 Draft special on Sports Grid, you and I were both perplexed, as many people were, by Buffalo's decision to trade back from 28th overall when they desperately need to fill out the wide receiver room after an offseason of attrition. No longer Stephon Diggs, no longer Gabe Davis there in Western New York to catch passes from Josh Allen. They trade out of number 28 overall with the Chiefs, who then move up and draft Xavier Worthy, the guy we thought Buffalo was more than likely going to take. They trade out of the first round once again at 32nd overall to the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers come up to get Xavier Legette, a wide receiver out of South Carolina. And there was a thought, Joe, that entering night number two, Buffalo was maybe using the 24 hours from the end of round number one to the start of round number two to posture, to negotiate, to maybe use all of their draft assets to trade for a guy like a Deebo Samuel, or maybe Brandon Ayuk from San Francisco, or maybe the disgruntled T. Higgins under the franchise tag in Cincinnati. None of that happened. Buffalo remained at 33 overall, and with the first pick of the second round, they draft a talented wide receiver out of Florida State, Keon Coleman. Now, although, Joe, Keon Coleman is quite a talented wide receiver, there are a couple of issues with his route running and maybe a couple of things beyond that. What did you make of what Buffalo ultimately decided to do with their draft positions here in the 2024 NFL Draft?
Well, the draft positions, I think they screwed it up heavily and potentially made two of their rivals, two teams that they're in competition for in terms of an AFC championship in regards to Baltimore and, more importantly, the Kansas City Chiefs. They made them and put them in a position to strengthen their offense and defenses respectively. I don't care what the situation. I don't care if there's no doubt those teams are not taking my player. I'm not giving them an opportunity to solidify their draft status or their draft position to help them out in any capacity. I just wouldn't do it. Now, the problem is that they trade out, right? So Kansas City goes in, and now they have Marquise Brown. They take the fastest player in regards to the draft in Xavier Worthy, right? And now the offense is hitting on all cylinders. But then, and nobody mentions that they then go behind the Baltimore Ravens, who at that particular time, there was no guarantee that the Ravens were going to go offensive line, defensive line, or even a wide receiver. Their wide receiver core isn't legit. So what happens if they took Keon Coleman or they took, you know, a Ricky Pearsall that we saw drop to San Francisco? Yep. I'm not suggesting Pearsall was on maybe Buffalo's board, but that still fills a need for the Buffalo Bills. Why give them that opportunity? I just don't see it to get fifth-round selections, too. They're getting fourth- and fifth-round selections. Expecting fifth round selections each and every year to hit a home run is more of an outlier than it is a jackpot. So I just don't see it, Ben. I thought it was terrible. You never give your rival or competition any reason to solidify their draft status.
Joe, we'll never have any idea if Ricky Pearsall was their wide receiver number one or Xavier Legette was their wide receiver number two. We're not going to know. Buffalo will never reveal that. It will never be made public. We'll have no idea, and nor should it be. But who's to say that it wasn't in the war room in Western New York that they were hoping that if they moved back to 33 overall, Xavier Legette was going to be there? But they allowed two teams to draft wide receiver ahead of them by moving back to the beginning of the second round. We have no idea. And maybe Keon Coleman was the guy all along, and they are thrilled right now for Josh Allen. And they do give Josh Allen a new asset, a big body wide receiver who is good at making contested catches, as you will find as anybody in this draft class. That's Marvin Harrison Jr. That's Malik Nabers. That's Roma Dunze. It doesn't matter. Keon Coleman rivals them. But Keon Coleman is not the first wide receiver off the board for a reason. In fact, he was the eighth wide receiver off the board. Seven wideouts in the first round, the most and tying the most in history, along with the 2004 NFL draft class. Again, very interesting. And I don't even mind the selection of Keon Coleman, Joe. My biggest issue with what Buffalo did was not only the trading out to not get their guy or a guy like Xavier Worthy, at 28th overall. If you would have asked me, Joe, over under 2.5 wide receivers Buffalo is going to select in this 2024 NFL draft, I probably would have taken the over, or at least said the over should have the juice. Keon Coleman was the only wide receiver they drafted. Now, there's a lot of holes. Buffalo has seen a ton of change this offseason from the guys that you would probably recognize on that roster that have led the Bills to four straight AFC East divisional titles. But I would have thought, Joe, wide receiver was an impetus. Wide receiver was a point of emphasis for Brandon Bean and this front office. They only get one. It's Keon Coleman. Again, a confounding draft for the Bills in my estimation.
It really is. And you bring up great points in regards to, you know, you can't expect one guy to all of a sudden duplicate the productivity of Stephon Diggs, number one. Number two, there's going to be growing pains. There is with every rookie, route running the quarterback to wide receiver relationship. And then look at the Kansas City Chiefs. You have to look no further than them. They took a shot on Sky Moore, didn't really potentially live up to expectations. Rashee Rice was, okay, forget the off-the-field stuff, but he wasn't all of a sudden their pure number one. He was inconsistent at times as well, and that's what the best quarterback in the NFL throwing them the football. So why not take multiple weapons and hopefully maybe one, two, three pan out, and then all of a sudden now you have depth. What happens if all of a sudden Keon Coleman, you know, aggravates a hammy? He's out for training camp. Now he's not starting until second or third week of September. You can't rule it out, and I don't wish him bad. That's not what I'm saying. But you need to have a backup contingency plan opposed to just saying, this is the guy. We'll put our eggs in this basket and we'll see how it plays out. And if we're wrong, well, we gave it a shot.
Yes, there's no depth around him. If it's not Keon Coleman, who might already be slotted into their number one wide receiver spot, is it Khalil Shakir? Is it Curtis Samuel? Is it Mac Hollins? Not the robust name of wideouts and weapons you would hope for Josh Allen to have at his arsenal. Again, very interesting stuff, especially knowing the cap hits that Josh Allen's contract starts to take for the Buffalo organization and needing some of those wide receivers on rookie deals. Other wide receivers, Joe, drafted following Keon Coleman. Ladd McConkey was that second pick of round two. He goes to the LA Chargers. They swap and move up to pick 34. Jalen Polk at 37. Chargers traded with the Patriots. The Pats take the wide receiver out of Washington. Jalen McMillan, Joe, the other wide receiver from that Washington trio this past year, goes 92nd overall in round number three to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That means all three of that Husky trio that was dominant with Michael Penix Jr. in the best passing offense this past season in college football. Rome Odunze, 9th overall to Chicago. Jalen Polk, 37th overall to New England. Jalen McMillan, 92nd overall to the Buccaneers. All three of those guys in the top 100.
Yeah, and they could all fly, they could all catch, and they all make big plays, right? We were watching and covering the semifinal playoff game against Texas. Oh, there's McMillan, there's Polk, right? Polk came on as well as any wide receiver for the Huskies towards the end of the regular season. Had a big game as well against Washington State in terms of the Apple Cup. So he's a player that really had a great relationship with Michael Penix. So, again, I love those late-round selections. I like McMillan to the Tampa Bay Bucs. He can learn from one of the best in terms of Mike Evans. They have a very young team, at least now with Baker Mayfield. That's a perfect fit for Jalen McMillan in that offense. I think he's gonna put up some numbers, especially if Baker could get him the football in training camp. Baker will find them. So I like the I like the pick right there. That's a pretty good pick.
For sure. And listen, it's not a first-round selection, right, where that premium is placed on that position to pay off and have immediate dividends right there. But a third-round pick for a wide receiver, you're expecting to maybe get through the entirety of that rookie contract and beyond. A really good selection. A.D. Mitchell, the other wide receiver out of Texas, does slide slightly into round number two, pick 52nd overall. He goes to the Indianapolis Colts, but I'm sure Anthony Richardson is happy to see that. We'll go to the defensive side of the football up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Lisi guy, because we only saw 9 defensive players drafted in the opening round, the first time in NFL draft history a defensive player hasn't been taken in the top 10. It took till pick 15 overall, Leiatu Latu out of UCLA, to go to Indianapolis. There was going to be a couple of defensive studs available on night number 2 and well into rounds 4 through 7 as well. A couple of Big Ten guys, you know, they pull at my heartstrings, really stand out to me, Joe, early and often in night number 2. That's Johnny Newton, 36th overall in round number 2 to the Washington Commanders. What a great pick for Washington, who I thought had a sensational draft, filling so many areas of need. And then Cooper DeJean at 40th overall to the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, Washington, a great draft. Philly, a sensational draft. For Philadelphia, Joe, addressing the secondary, the cornerback position, namely, to get Quinyon Mitchell at 22nd overall, not having to move to acquire the former Toledo Rocket, and then to get Cooper DeJean at 40th overall with a little bit of aggression out of Howie Roseman. I thought Philly absolutely hit a home run, scored a touchdown, whatever sports analogy you want to use, to address the cornerback position to get both DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. Things don't get much better than that.
No, he did a fantastic job. In back-to-back years, they have a very young defense. All of a sudden, yeah, that was the concern. Right now, we talked about them falling off a cliff after they started 10-1 overall. Darius Slay, mm-hmm, and that secondary got abused, especially by Baker Mayfield in terms of the playoff loss. Now you get Mitchell. He's a strong kid, all-MAC player, 4'3", 40. I think he bench-pressed 225 20 times, always around the football. And Cooper DeJean as well. I mean, ball hawk number 1. He's very versatile. You were tweeting out his basketball, you know, highlight reel where he's playing above the rim. He's got hops. Yeah. And more importantly, could be used as a return guy, right? Maybe you sprinkle him in regards for to sure, some, you know, fly sweeps with Jalen Hurts and that offensive staff if you want, in terms of certain situations. He's that versatile and that dynamic. So that's what you want to see. I mean, that was a dynamic draft by Philadelphia. You mentioned Washington as well. The new regime with Josh Harris, I said it before, they did fantastic work in regards to Johnny Newton. That defense couldn't stop anybody, couldn't stop a high school team in regards to rushing attacks throughout the regular season. He's a big body, forces double teams. We know Jaden Daniels. The team that I thought did fantastic from a defensive side of the ball, maybe I'm a little partial, but the LA Rams, to get Fisk and Jared Verse, 1-2, I thought they did an unbelievable draft by Sean McVay. They're going to make up for that absence of Aaron Donald with 2 playmakers that are basically winners. And both of those players, in my opinion, going to start immediately.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. I think the LA Rams had a great, great draft as well with Brendan Fisk and, as you mentioned, Jared Verse. They are going to make some noise there, I think, for LA, for a team that is not known for their drafting acumen in the last few years. Of course, they had their first round pick, I should say, since 2016, and they select Jared Verse at 19 overall. A good draft for Los Angeles, and they got Blake Corum. I really like that pick for the Rams as well. But I think when you saw some of that value in night number 2 on the defensive side of the football, really big picks. Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota, Mr. Do-It-All for the Gophers in college football. He was the favorite to be the first safety drafted at minus 140. He goes to the New York Giants. Mikey Sainristil out of Michigan, the leader on that defense, leading them to a national championship. Another pick by the Commanders in the top 50 that I loved. I thought Washington did some really good things, some really good defensive drafts here, Joe, because of all the surplus that we saw into night number 2 following only 9 guys in round number 1. And how about a moment for our guy, Torrey Taylor, the punter out of Iowa, the 2023 Ray Guy Award winner for the best punter in college football, 4th round pick, number 122 overall to the Chicago Bears. Joe, it's crazy that the Bears got the best player in college football and Caleb Williams all in the same draft. A great job by Ryan Poles in the Bears front office to get Torrey Taylor, who actually, if you look at the Bears last year, special teams, punt team, not great. Torrey Taylor, the highest drafted punter since 2019 in the NFL draft, will make immediate impacts in the Windy City.
Oh, are you maybe that's the way Chicago wants to play. You know, pin them deep and rely on defense. Then sell Caleb Williams' numbers right now if that's the way they're going to do it. But that's what he did at Iowa. You mentioned it, you know, one of the most productive punters. I mean, over 40-plus in regards to average. Just, you know, placement is unbelievable. I thought my guy, Austin McNamara from Texas Tech, would be drafted. He wasn't. They signed him for the Bengals. I thought that's a great signing in terms of free agents, but punters can't go overlooked. Now, fourth round, the pressure's on. You know that. You can't shank a big one with Caleb Williams there, because then you'll be cut before you even have an opportunity to get 10 games under your belt. So, pressure's on, but a great signing for that special team. Special teams are going to make a resurgence, I believe, this year. Sure. Not just punting, but with the kickoffs, we're in for a big, big, I believe, season, Ben.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Your guy, Austin McNamara. How about guest of the early line interviewed by yours truly, Donnie Wrightside, breaking things down with Austin McNamara. Three guys came onto the early line, Joe, that were NFL draft prospects. Two were drafted. That's Tanner Bordellini, the big O-lineman out of Wisconsin. He goes to the Colts in round number four. Ladarius Henderson, one of the hog mollies up front for Michigan the last few years, one of 13 Michigan players drafted in the NFL draft here in 2024. That was the most of any college football program nationally. And Austin McNamara, not drafted, but an undrafted free agent who signs with Cincinnati. So that only goes to show one thing, Joe. You come on the Sports Grid Network, your NFL future looks pretty bright.
There you go. I'll be on tomorrow. You never know. At what time? 9:15? There you go.
You think you still got some eligibility? You still got some run in that knee, brother?
I used it up. Now you're talking. I did see those interviews. I mean, those are three, you know, productive players. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
And Michigan, much now, right, with 13 players in terms of what Jim Harbaugh built there, much in the mold of Alabama and LSU, with these players just translating to the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely so. Listen, I saw Alicia wearing a flak jacket all weekend long. I thought he was about to drop back in the pocket and try to hit somebody on a seven route right up the seam. You never know what Joe Lisi is going to be up to. We'll come back here on Football Full Circle for some final draft takeaways next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So now the NFL draft in 2024 has come to a close. It gets a little bit slower in NFL circles as we get to the late part of spring into early summer before we get ready for a new NFL season. But listen, we are never, never without football content here on Football Full Circle. So, Joe, it's interesting to me now that we have these rookies in the National Football League. We know where they were drafted. We know what franchise they now play for. What is their outlook in their very first NFL season? Caleb Williams, it really should be no surprise, is the favorite to be the offensive rookie of the year this upcoming year in 2024 at +210. He's nearly $4 shorter than Marvin Harrison Jr., 6-1, of course, the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. So I think Caleb Williams is rightfully booked as the favorite, and although we've only seen four quarterbacks win the AP Offensive Rookie of the Year award in the last 10 seasons, including C.J. Stroud, of course, who ran away with the award this past year in 2023, I like Caleb Williams at a +210 price because the expectation in Chicago is not, hey, let's be above 500. Hey, maybe let's try to contend for 6-7 wins. It's, hey, let's make the playoffs or we will not see this as a successful year with everything Chicago has surrounded the quarterback position with.
Yeah, great point. And I guess the only question, you know, Ben, is this. Does Matt Eberflus know that? Because that is a problem right now for the staff, is that, you know, it's not Caleb Williams. He's got the playmakers around him in regards to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, now Rome Odunze. It's the philosophy. This team, you know, last year struggled with an identity issue, and now that they have the number one pick overall, they really need to give him the keys to the Ferrari. So I agree with you. He's deserving of being the +210 price, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to eclipse those 3,600 passing yards in year number one. You know, with this coach. That is my main concern. They have an 8.5 win total. They need to be at least, 9-10-7, 9-8. They need to challenge and really challenge better teams, Detroit and Green Bay, respectively, with solidified quarterbacks in Jared Goff and Jordan Love. There's no margin of error. So if Matt Eberflus is going to play a little close to the vest, he's not going to win like that, and it's not going to help Caleb Williams' development. They're going to have the same situation that they had with Fields. So that is the only concern. For me, it's the head coach, not so much Caleb, and that's why, for me, I probably wouldn't bet the 210. I would take a shot on my guy, Jaden Daniels, because I do feel they're going to open it up with Kingsbury.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Joe. And just from the quarterback position for the Rookie of the Year award, what does it often mean if your team is drafting first overall or second overall or in the top five or in the top 10? You weren't very good the season prior, and you're probably not projected to be all that much better with a rookie quarterback the following year. For instance, the Commanders team win total is 6.5. The Patriots team win total is 5.5. And the under has the hefty juice. Oftentimes, we don't see rookie quarterbacks win rookie of the year because, fair or unfair, the quarterback position is tied to wins and losses. So although a quarterback might not look that bad individually, if his team is 5-12, then maybe he wasn't doing enough to lead that team. That's the thought, not saying it's true again, but still, that is the thought. It's why a wide receiver or a running back on a good team that puts up prolific offensive numbers can win the award. Again, we saw C.J. Stroud win it last year, but the two previous years it was a wide receiver. Garrett Wilson in 2022 for the New York Jets, Ja'Marr Chase the year prior for the Cincinnati Bengals. But that's why I think Caleb is slightly different, because the Bears are expected to be good, or at least above 500. That is the expectation both externally from the odds makers and what the Bears franchise desperately needs. Or Matt Eberflus might not see year number 4 entering his third NFL season this time around. Dallas Turner, Joe, at 5-1 is the favorite to be the defensive rookie of the year. He's $1.50 in front of Leatu Latu, who's at plus 650. Your guy, Jared Verse, third best number at 10-1.
Yeah, again, defense, I think it could be Verse. I really say that. I think Verse or maybe McMillan in regards to that. Don't count out Terrion Arnold as well. He's another big play cornerback that was taken in terms of the top 20. But for me, I think it's Verse. I think he has the ability to be a Myles Garrett player, being on that recognizable West Coast team with a Super Bowl coach. I think Verse would be my pick right here, right now, Ben.
Yeah, you might be thinking, because there wasn't a defensive player drafted in the top 10 or the top 14, that maybe the defensive talent isn't all that great. I would disagree with the thought. Oftentimes, defensive rookie of the year, you'll see it on the defensive line, and that's why we see guys like Dallas Turner, Latu, and Jared Verse up at front. Keep an eye on Byron Murphy, 12-1 for the Seattle Seahawks. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step 4, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.